Hey Goombas, this is the Godfather here. This episode is the pretty much the last of the four-state SlasherCon interviews. In this episode, you'll hear two separate interviews. The reason why we're giving you both in one instead of each as an individual episode as we did before is because simply both episodes, even though they're good enough to stand on their own, both were between 15 minutes and 20 minutes on their own. So we decided to combine them to one episode. First up is the lovely Scream Queen, Miss Rossi. If you're listening to this, Miss Rossi, I am not butchering your first name, so please forgive that. She's up first. And the next person we'll be hearing is Daniel Beer of Point Break and Creepshow 2 fame. I'll introduce when it's his turn. But for now, here's Miss Rossi. She's a screen queen, and we'll hear that interview.
Hi, Goombas. We're still at Four State SlasherCon. I'm here with, how do you pronounce your name?
Genoviva Rossi.
Okay, with Rossi here, who is a scream queen.
Yes, I'm a scream queen. I've been acting in the horror genre since 2012, and I've been over 70 films.
70 films? What's your most current film that you've been appeared in?
My most current film?
Yeah.
The last one I think I shot was for Larry Rosen. I did a short film, and I did a feature. I did The Abducted, a short, and Cries and Pleads with Larry Rosen. And right that before that, I did Bernard T. Ward's Popcorn Bag of Terror.
Working on a lot of these B-movies, what's it like working on something that might have either a low budget or no budget at all?
It's a challenge because, you know, you're putting in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and things are tight. You can't always do a lot of takes. We have to get things done as quickly as possible. Sometimes the special effects can't be duplicated more than once or twice, so you're under a certain amount of pressure, you know, to really deliver.
Now, granted, we're here at Four State SlasherCon. You're promoting not only yourself as a screen queen, but it seems that you're promoting a movie known as Killer Chickens, or
Attack of the Killer Chickens.
Attack of the Killer. My bad. Sorry.
No problem. It's a short film that I actually just shot this summer. I wrote, directed, and starred in it with myself, Edward X. Young, Rocco George, who made our puppets, Nick Petito, our cinematographer and actor, Pamela Martin, and KJ Hopkins.
Where can our audience find this?
Well, we just finished editing it like a week ago, so it was just screened at Four State Slasher, where it seemed like a huge hit. Everybody loved it. A couple of people have bought copies of it and have already told me how much they loved it. They like to see it made into a feature and expanded. So right now I'm selling copies at conventions. I'm going to be at Martinsville Horror Convention next month. And then I have some convention appearances coming up in Buffalo and Delaware later on. So look for me on my Twitter and my Facebook, Genoviva Rossi, Genoviva Rossi. I can also mail out copies, but right now I'm focusing on having Attack of the Killer Chickens go to some film festivals and also screening at horror conventions.
We'll link up to your Twitter in our show notes, so it'll be easier for the fans and potential fans of yourself to find you that way.
Absolutely, thank you.
Screen queen, as a model, obviously, here. What kind of fans do you normally meet at a show such as this?
I meet a lot of different kinds of people that follow my work, that have seen my films. Some of them love my comedic work and the horror comedies that I've done with James Balsamo and Beelzebub and some other people. Some people really enjoy my more dramatic work, like A Dark Place in the Sun with Michael Mahoney, or Apocalypse Kiss, directed by Christian Grillo and starring Michael Berryman and Tom Atkins and myself. You know, I have a huge body of work, over 70 films, and I've definitely delved into a lot of different areas within the horror genre.
Because some people might ask, what entitles the title, so to speak, Scream Queen? Is it because of the body of the work, or is it something completely different?
Well, Scream Queen is a term that's thrown around a lot these days. Every time somebody does one or two horror movies, we call them a Scream Queen. But it basically means you're an actress that's known for your work in the horror genre. And it usually means that you do have a large body of work, or that you have a couple of films that have quite a bit of notoriety. So, you know, in my case, I feel like it's a pretty deserved title in the sense that I've done over 70 films since 2012. So my volume kind of speaks for itself in that regard.
Of course. How'd you get started in doing something like this? What started it?
Well, I started acting in theater as far back as nursery school, grammar school, high school, and college. Started doing some short films in college and after college. And then one day, Jen Valdez contacted me on Facebook and asked me to want to be in her feature film, Jacko Slasher. I play a sexy Satanist in a cornfield. I said, sure, why not? And, you know, the rest is history. I met James Balsamo on set. I did I Spill Your Guts right after that, one of my best-known horror films. And then I ended up doing a whole bunch of other films after that, including Zombie Hunters, City of the Dead. I was in 3 episodes of that. I did Apocalypse Kiss with Michael Berryman not long after that. I did a whole bunch of films.
I think Zombie Hunters is on Netflix right now. So for the listeners, if you want to see Giovanna, you could probably search that on Netflix and see that. I'm sorry, I'm mispronouncing your name.
No problem. Yeah, Zombie Hunters City of the Dead, look for that one. I play a soldier. Also on Netflix, I have Flesh Through the Beast. I play a Satanist in that, and episode Jersey Devil Girl. Look for I Spill Your Guts. You could probably find that online easily. Apocalypse Kiss is, I think, on demand on Amazon.com and YouTube. You could also look for A Dark Place Inside. I'm sure that's available on demand. You could also look for me in Fear of Web series. I'm in Fear of Sexual Harassment and in Fear of Blindness. That's on demand on Vimeo. I have a whole bunch of stuff. If you just Google my name online, things will come up.
Or IMDb.
IMDb, I have 65 credits on IMDb right now.
Gone from I'm doing this because it's work to I'm doing this because it's fun, or is there something else?
Well, acting is really my passion, and it's a real driving force of my life. It's an obsession in a sense. So it's something I put all of myself into. I act in horror movies. I actually just did a play recently in NIAC called Harlots and Heresy. I actually got involved in that play because I did a short film called Not Another Bad Horror Flick. I play a witch in that. Some people saw me in that and offered me a role in a play in a theater production that I did. So I had over 90 lines of dialogue. I delivered 3 monologues to demonstrate my acting proficiency, and I hadn't done theater in a while, and I thought, hey, why not? So, you know, it's my passion. It's the driving force of my life, you know.
Despite all what you have here at the table, and the credits that you have on IMDb and so forth and so on, is there a lot of stigmatas being a screen queen, or meaning when you go to a news shoot, is there something that they expect that you do that you will not do, or...
You know, being a Scream Queen as a label both helps and hinders you to a certain degree. Sometimes it helps you because people know you have a following and you have a certain degree of notoriety. Like, I make a lot of guest appearances all over the country, and that's fantastic. And because of my Scream Queen status, a lot of people enjoyed me in that short film, Another Bad Horror Flick, and I got cast in it. I'm the most well-known person in the film, and it got the People's Choice Award, and then I was cast in a play based on that Scream Queen status to a certain degree. They wanted someone that the notoriety of a little famous to be in their play. But sometimes people label Scream Queens of people that don't have a high proficiency in acting, that were just like somebody there to be naked or whatever. But I've actually been in over 70 films. I only appear nude maybe about 9 of them. So I think my career demonstrates my acting proficiency. I'm not afraid to do nudity if I think the role dictates it, or if I think it's going to be artistic and it's vital for the film. But at the same time, I don't want to rely on that. I still will do theater.
I think that's why I was trying to get with the question, is that someone says screen queen or something like that, as from a directorial standpoint, it's like, okay, we want you to be naked, or we want you just for your looks, not just, you know, to be acting, meaning not to use the word lightly, but they might think that you're a dick. I'm not saying that as something like that. She's a screen queen, therefore it equals someone who's a ditz. Therefore, we could get her to do whatever we want
well,
to.
That's
so,
a little bit of a challenge to overcome as a screen queen. You are right in that. People do think that maybe you're just there to run, fall, and die, and that's all you have to offer, and that you're not going to be able to deliver dialogue. But I feel like I have a lot of range, and some of my best-known films are my dramatic ones. In Apocalypse Kiss, I'm 9 months pregnant. So, I'm not there to be eye candy.
So, yeah. Therefore, it, having those under your belt has helped you say, hey, I don't want to do this, or I'm uncomfortable doing this, so therefore, let's talk, or...
Well, I run Scream and Die in some films, like I Spill Your Guts, or Cool as Hell, but at the same time, I do take on dramatic roles like Apocalypse Kiss, or Dark Place Inside. I play the mother of a little boy who's being sexually molested. And then I just did a play where I played Delilah of Samson Delilah and Harlots and Heresy. I don't want to limit myself. I even did a Christian film with Stephen Baldwin, Tina Louise, and Burt Young called Tapestry. I don't want to limit myself. I want to demonstrate that, yeah, I could play the typical Scream Queen character of running, falling, and dying. That's fun, but I'm not limited to that. I have range.
Yeah, saying you want to be able to tell the potential directors, whether they be low BN to the higher BN, almost the mainstream directors, that I'm not just, again, a ditz to, as you said, run, trip, die. Or, you know, I'm just here to open up my shirt to get people in the audience, sort of thing.
Exactly. I think a lot of times, you know, I have a lot of popularity in a short period of time. And, you know, the fact that I've only been nude in about 9 films out of 70, I think demonstrates that people are interested in me beyond that.
Right.
And a lot of fans contact me, and their favorite things that they've seen me in are the things that aren't even the things I'm being very provocative in. They're my more dramatic roles, like Zombie Hunters on the Soldier in. The Soulless I'm a Soldier in. You know, films like Apocalypse Kiss is a very, very popular one for me, and again, I'm pregnant in that one. A Dark Place Inside was reviewed in Horror Hound magazine, and I'm like a mother of a little boy. You know, a lot of these films, and even Not Another Bad Horror Flick that won the war, The People's Choice, I play this evil witch character. You know, I play a witch, a gypsy in a lot of roles, in fact. In Hunters, I play a real alpha. It's my most disturbing role to date. That's a film starring Linnea Quigley. So I like disturbing roles. I like playing an evil witch. I like playing a killer. I like playing a dramatic role. You know, I like playing the character actor at times, too, as well as the sexy character.
So even though you're in... are you a fan of horror as well, or as being in so many B-movies and horror flicks, kind of saying, I'm turned off, I prefer other movies other than horror, or are you just big?
Well, I probably love, like, horror, comedy, and drama the most, and I've been a horror fan for many years, ever since I was a child. I was watching old Vincent Price movies. I love Christopher Lee. I love Peter Cushing. I love the old Hammer movies especially. Also, the Universal Studio Monsters is what I used to watch as a child. That got me interested in B-rated movies. Pit and the Pendulum was one of my favorite horror movies as a child. I love Barbara Steele. And so I always had this interest going to horror conventions as a fan, and then I transitioned into an actress. But I'm still very loyal to the genre. And I love horror movies, you know.
What got you started in acting overall? Was it the horror movies, or was it something else? Or...
Well, nursery school was my first play. I played Ladybug. I did some plays in grammar school and high school, and then I did some short films and kind of segued into horror.
So horror has definitely been your mainstay for the past... How long have you... Without giving you age, I know that's a role amongst guys asking them never to give their age, but how long have you been... I know you said over 64 films, but how long have you been in the business?
I've been acting in horror films since about 2012, with over 70
so,
films.
So you've been doing this for 3 years. So will you be continuing? Is there still a love? Do you still have the love for doing this? Or
it's still there, but I want to evolve. I want to make some changes. Like, I just did a theater production that I was lead in. I think I want to do more theater. I think I want more horror films, especially more dramatic roles, more challenging me as an actress. And then I just directed and wrote Attack of the Killer Chickens, and I think I want to do some more writing and directing as well.
So,
and I also write for Malevolent Magazine every issue, A Day in the Life of a Scream Queen. So I'm working on a lot of different things.
I was just told to let you all know that the short films The Price and Bloodlust will be beginning in 5 minutes in the movie room.
sponsors for the show as we're interviewing Miss Rossi.
So, Chaos at 4 State SlasherCon. So I'm working on a lot of different things. Like I said, I want to evolve as an actress, taking on more diverse roles. I'm writing for Worldlit Magazine, A Day in the Life of a Scream Queen. And I want to do more directing, and I want to do more theater.
So, being in this business, what's the best thing about this business that you've come across so far? That
the horror fans are fantastic. There's such a loyalty and love from the horror fans.
Do you see more love with the being on the aspect of the independent side or the mainstream side?
Both. I just think horror as a genre has such a loyal following, people that have a lot of passion for the genre. And I always say horror is not just a genre, it's really a lifestyle for the actors, the actresses, and the fans. That's why we're here this weekend at 4 State SlasherCon, you know? This is our lifestyle. We love horror movies.
So have there been fans that kind of, even though there's a lot of love, especially at cons, have been a little bit too friendly, or... What kind of experience have you had at a show that you've come to love and come to hate, so to speak?
Everything's been great. I haven't had any negative experiences among the fans, no. It's been very good. Very positive feedback, yeah.
Have you, even though we at the show are very new, have you done podcasts like this before, or...
I do podcasts pretty regularly. I do interviews pretty regularly. I've been in Digital Dead, a UK magazine. I was also in Medusa, a French magazine. I get international press, UK, Canada, France, Sweden, all over the world.
So, granted that you've been enjoying yourself at the show, what's the best show you've been, 4 State excluded, that you can...
One show I had a lot of fun at was the Mr. Hush Weekend of Horror. I did that last summer in Pennsylvania, and it was a lot of fun because Kane Hodder was there, and I love him. Tom Savini was there, and I'm a big fan. Brad Laurie was there, and I love him. My good friend Edward X. Young was there. It was just great because there was such this synergy of so many people I'm a big fan of, and I'm also friends with.
Is there any mainstream actor or actress that you would love to work with in either an independent or a mainstream movie? Or...
I have some people I took off my list already. I got to work with Linnea Quigley twice on The Sadists and the Hunters. I worked with Michael Berryman and Tom Atkins on Apocalypse Kiss, so that was really exciting. I even did a film with Tyler Main recently called Take Two, The Audition, so that's really exciting. But I would love to do a movie with Kane Hodder or Tom Savini. I haven't done that yet. Oh, actually, I am in a movie with Tom Savini. Excuse me, I think I am in a movie with Tom Savini. Okay, I wouldn't mind doing another one with Tom Savini then.
So... I know we contacted you on Facebook. Have you had a lot of people contact you on Facebook saying, well, we're going to be, like what we did, contact you, hey, we're going to be at a such and such show?
Absolutely. A lot of fans, people with podcasts, a lot of directors contact me. A lot of people from all over the world contact me via Facebook and Twitter to set up interviews and stuff.
So,
yeah.
What I'm getting is you're very fan-friendly in reference to shows and everything else. Just the puppies wandering around, so this has been a very puppy-friendly, it's Cocker Spaniel this time.
Yeah, more dogs at this convention than those. That's what makes 4 State SlasherCon so unique.
Yeah. So, what Brooklyn said, we're happy to have you on the show, obviously. Is there anything you'd like to tell the audience or thing, or...
Sure. I would like everybody to check me out online. Genevieve Rossi, Genovieva Rossi, Rossi. Check me out on Twitter. Check me out on Facebook. Look up my IMDb. Check me out online. If you Google my name, you'll get a lot of different interviews and press for me. I know UK Horror Scene, Digital Dead out of the UK has written about me. A Swedish website, Monster Degar wrote about me. Check me out online.
Again, we're happy to have you on the show. All her information will be located in our show notes. Just to let you know, as soon as the episode drops, we'll send you a link to the episode.
And I'll post it all over my social networkings. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being on the show. Again, everybody, if you're listening through Twitter, because we know that they... air the complete episode. We do have, we're on iTunes and we're on Stitcher Radio. You can always find us at thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And we, again, we'd like to thank Ms. Rossi for being on our program today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay, Goombas, that was Ms. Rossi. I hope you enjoyed the interview with her. We tried to clean up the audio as best we could. Again, we'd like to thank Ms. Rossi for the interview that we had with her. Up next is Daniel Beer. Again, as I said, he's from Point Break with Patrick Swayze and Mr. Woe himself, Keanu Reeves. Hope you enjoy his interview, and we'll have a closing statement after we clean up. We have Daniel Beers' interview. We'll be cleaning up his audio to make sure that you can understand both him and I. So hope you enjoy his interview, which is right here.
Hey Goombas, welcome again to 4 State SlasherCon. We're here talking with Daniel Beer. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Yep.
He's best known for The Raft as the Creep Show, the big, or I should say the short, The Raft. He was, from what I was told, the last person to not really survive, to die in that short.
That's right.
And he's here at 4 State SlasherCon as his first convention experience. As a first time guest at a convention, what has your experience been so far?
I love how eclectic and how eclectic everyone is. It's like a Halloween carnival.
So
that's really great, and people of Winchester, Virginia, are just absolutely top. They're just so warm and friendly, and they've been telling me, "Well, I hope you enjoy your stay." And there's a real sense of pride in the community here. That's really, really, really wonderful. And Matt Burns and Michael O'Connell and everyone else that's running this con have been nothing but professional, and they've been kind and gracious, and everybody involved has just been really, really, really first rate. So for my first experience, it's been really, really, really wonderful. So, and I really appreciate everybody's hospitality and everybody's kindness.
I know you, earlier today you had the panel and everything else. How have the fans been treating you? I know you just said that being Winchester has been a fun experience, so to speak, but how have the fans been treating you?
Warmth and kindness. That was my first panel. Yeah. I've never even sat and listened in a panel, so I like getting feedback. I asked some questions to the fans, and I wanted to hear their thoughts and feelings. That's always insightful. It's as they used to say back in the day, it's been groovy, you know, and the fans have been really warm, you know. I mean, you basically get unconditional love when you show up, and they tell you how much a movie means to them, and, you know, it's wonderful, you know. I mean, one of the reasons, or the big reason why I'm an actor is to connect, and I'm doing it, you do a project for the people. After I act in it, it's really not for me anymore. It's for the people. So what I get out of it is actually performing on the set. The rest of it is it's not mine anymore. But
other than Creepshow, what have you been in?
Well, the other thing I'm kind of for is Point Break. I was one of the leads in Point Break, and then in Dying Young, and I've done a bunch of independent movies. I just did a guest star on Rizzoli and Isles. I just did a episode of Rizzoli and Isles. And we'll see what I'm going to be doing next. You can hit me up on my Facebook fan page, my public page, not my private page, my public page, and I keep people up to date. And I've been posting stuff from here, and everybody's been enjoying it. And I actually met somebody from my fan page here, and that was fun. So you can get on there and be one of the brewskis. So I call them brewskis since my last name is Beer. I don't think they mind that.
I don't think anybody would. As much as I don't want to mimic any questions from the panel, but
you can mimic. The people listening didn't hear the questions.
Oh, true.
We're doing it for the people listening.
Right. What is, as you said, you've been not only Creepshow, but Point Break. What have you been your memorable experiences in both that you were willing to share? I'm not.
In both, like, memorable...
Memorable moments filming The Raft and memorable moments in Point Break.
Well, the most... whenever you do something, the most memorable is when you get the part. That's the most exciting. You're just very excited that you got the part. So that's probably the most memorable. For, like, on the set, I was explaining during the panel on Creature 2 that I had hypothermia the whole shoot, basically, as soon as I hit the water, and a lot of people don't know that. And I recommended watching the DVD with the director's commentary, and Michael Gornick really gets into how difficult it was to shoot the film. I don't think no one really understands the amount of problems he had to overcome, and he did it brilliantly to get that thing in under budget. It was just brilliant. So the weather conditions for that were really, 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 really difficult. And I think Michael Gornick was really memorable, how he... he was like a dad to me, and how he protected me, he had my back, and he was, it was a really difficult shoot. Water shoots are really difficult, and he was just fantastic. I can't say enough about that man, so.
Granted, I realize it, it's based on the story, was based on the story, but right. I think, from a fan's standpoint, your character got robbed.
My character got what?
Robbed.
Robbed.
It's like, you made it, and all of a sudden, you know, black, and it's like, he didn't make it, son of a...
Yeah, I hear that from some people, yeah.
It's like, he got robbed, you know, it's not you as a, you
sure.
know, as an actor, but as the character.
That's what makes it good.
It's like, hey, you made it, you turned around, you had to talk, and all of a sudden, boom.
Well, I had to get punished for all my sins, for the sins with her on the raft, and then turning around and showboating.
And it's just... it was one of those I'm sure a lot of people have seen when they were real young and so forth and so on. It's,
right.
In regards to Point Break, are there any tales from Point Break that you love to tell? Or?
Well, here's something I was saying. There's in the, in not the TV version because it's watered down. Some of my scenes are actually cut out because they're too graphic. But if you get the DVD... no, this is a podcast. They can't see it. But I make a fist and I roll up my middle finger like a flip-off sign, right? So I slowly roll it up and my middle finger goes up. Well, that, I invented that. That wasn't in the script, and I think I'm the first person. Somebody told me they did it in Wayne's World, but Wayne's World was after that movie. And I have been... Your technical guy is sitting right behind us. I know the listeners can't see this, but the technical guy is laughing at my middle finger because you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, they saw that, and they said that came from Wayne's World. I did it before that, and we did that to each other in high school. And I've been places where people have done that to me, and I'm going, why are they rolling up their middle finger at me? And then they go, dude, I saw you in Point Break and like that. And we did that in school. And I started, that thing like kind of spread across, you know, to different parts of the country and to audiences. And we used to sit at our desks in high school and do that. That wasn't in the script. And when I did it, it's a scene where Keanu and Gary, like, they're walking away from our car. And I'm kind of the nemesis to Keanu. I play opposite him. And... when they walk away from the car, I do that, rolling up the middle finger. And Catherine came to the car for the mistake. Goes, what are you doing? And I explained, this is something we did in high school. And I said, God, is she going to take it away? And she went, okay, go ahead, keep it. And that made it in the movie.
One of those...
You like that?
Yeah, one of those...
You like the little
movie movie mistakes that...
It wasn't a mistake. I didn't know. It wasn't a mistake. I came up.
Yeah.
A mistake is when something accidentally, like the famous mistake is Marlon Brando and on the waterfront, she accidentally drops the glove and he picks it up. I purposely came up with that.
So it was improv on the set.
Yeah, I didn't do it in rehearsal. As soon as we started to shoot it.
That's what I'm saying.
But I knew what I was doing. I incorporated, because part of the thing as an actor, you want to incorporate stuff into scripts. So I put that in there. As a physical action.
And it worked.
And it caught on. It's the power of film and TV is just amazing to me. How things catch on. So anybody rolling up their middle finger, and you know what? I didn't see the movie. Somebody told me the guy from Guardian of the Galaxy was doing that in that movie. So now other people will catch on from that. So it went from me doing a Point Break, Wayne's World, and then Guardian of the Galaxy. I was the first person to bring that to life. The first person. From sitting in a small town in upstate New York from my high school and us doing that to each other to crack each other up. The tech guy is laughing. Because it's funny. He just said he's a tech guy for you all listening. He said, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, our tech guy for today is our listeners, is our co-host, Big Candy. He's being our tech guy for today. So
he's about 6'1". He has a beard baseball cap on and a hoodie sweatshirt. He looks very much like the Mountain Man.
That might be your new screen name on the show.
Mountain Man.
Mountain Man. That's what I'm calling your next host for.
It is what it is.
And I'm saying Daniel Beer said you're a mountain man.
There you go.
I'm a mountain man.
Well, now I have credit for that nickname, too.
If you go down for anything, it's this and mountain.
You got to start with a closed fist.
And work slowly. Go. So, obviously, would other conventions, if you were invited to them, because of this being your first, would you be doing them again due to a decent experience? Or
this experience is great. I don't know if I'll do any conventions again. I don't know because it takes away from me being in Los Angeles to audition and to get work and stuff like that. So it depends on my schedule. This fit in with the schedule okay. So that's why. It's just about fitting in schedule and that kind of stuff. And also, Matt and Mike, they were just really wonderful people. So I said, I like these guys.
I'm repeating, what else do you want? Wanted to ask me anything else, or I know you're sitting back there. You sure? Have you done podcasts before, or is...
I've done one, and I've been interviewed twice, like Skype, and they posted the interviews on YouTube. Actually, somebody came up to me and said, I watched your interview on YouTube. And then I did a live chat thing. That was really, really fascinating while I was like chatting and typing back and everything like that. Where the audience could see me and they would type in their questions and then I would just answer them and they could watch me. And that was really interesting, really fun. So yeah.
Have you been recognized on the street going, you know, down the street as a
here today? No.
Not so much today, but where you're normally at in LA or...
Yeah, I get recognized from Point Break. From that and some TV stuff and everything like that. So yeah, it happens occasionally. But yeah, but I'm not a big shot movie star. So when I am, I'll come back and do the podcast.
No, it's okay. You're helping us out. We're happy to have you on the show. You say you've done TV as well, or
yeah?
What have you done with TV?
Well, I said that, I don't know if I already said this, but the last day I was on. I just guest starred on Rizzoli and Isles.
If I didn't hear, I do apologize.
It's loud in here. Rizzoli and Isles was, I just guessed out on that. And you can go to my IMDb page and you can type in my name and see all the stuff that I've done. So I don't have to list it all here.
I know this is going to be a short interview. We're happy to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you at the con as well.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And thank you for Winchester for having me too. It's been wonderful.
No problem. When we come up, I'll get an autograph off of you.
Sure.
More than honorable. We're going to end it here. Again, if you could find us, if you have any thought we didn't ask Daniel a lot of questions, you can always send complaints to us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. We'll give Daniel Beer on his fan page a link as soon as the episode drops. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, Goombas, that was Daniel Beer. Again, we tried to clean up the audio as best we could. I hope you enjoyed this, and again, this is the end of our 4-State SlasherCon series. Hope you enjoyed it. Spread the word to your friends in regards to the panels, who we had interviews, so forth and so on. And as always, you could email us at the Longcoat Mafia@gmail.com. You could find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You could also find us on our website, depending on where you found us. That website is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And The Long Coat Mafia is all one word. Okay, thank you guys. Have a good listen. Spread the word. Hope you enjoy it. And come back.